Support comes from The Ohio State University. Join Ohio State May 3rd for a day of giving, working towards one incredible goal of creating pathways to debt-free education through scholarships. Part of the Scarlet and Gray Advantage Program. More at dayofgiving.osu.edu.
This podcast was recorded on Thursday, April 21st at 10:44 a.m. Things may have changed by the time you hear this.
Yeah, like politicians will file marijuana legalization bills on days other than April 20th or 420.
Yeah. We get it. It's not that funny. Ask Elon Musk.
Let's talk politics. This is Snollygoster, WOSU Public Media's weekly look at Ohio politics. And all those Snollygosters who shrewdly seek endorsements and then say, endorsements don't mean that much anyway. I'm Steve Brown.
And I'm Mike Thompson. Coming up in the podcast, the friendly Democratic primary campaign for governor takes a bit of a harsh turn.
Yeah, a bit, that's for sure. But first, we have a Trump endorsement. And in line with reports that leaked days before it happened, it is J.D. Vance for U.S. Senate.
Wait, what? Wasn't fake news? The reports were right? Amazing. Anyway, the former president has officially endorsed the former never-Trumper. Trump's statement reads, like some others, J.D. Vance may have said some not-so-great things about me in the past, but he gets it now, and I have seen that in spades. He is our best chance for victory in what could be a very tough race.
So as excited as J.D. Vance was to get that endorsement, his opponents were as equally frustrated. Here is some reaction. Josh Mandel on the Trump endorsement, quote, I continue to be a proud supporter of President Trump and the America First agenda. I look forward to earning his endorsement in the general election and working with him to defeat Tim Ryan in November.
Jane Timken basically said, hey, Trump endorsed me first as the Ohio Republican chair.
Mike Gibbons said, quote, I would have loved the endorsement. I'm in a strong position because I have been an America First champion.
And Matt Dolan, who didn't want the endorsement, wasn't going to get it anyway, said, rather than focusing on Ohio, Jane Timken, Josh Mandel, Mike Gibbons, and J.D. Vance embraced lies and undermined the Constitution to go all in for one endorsement. They cheapened the integrity of the office they wish to attain, with campaigns now in chaos as ballots are being cast.
Good for Matt Dolan for standing his ground there. I guess I would say good for J.D. Vance as well, because he came out the clear winner over the past 7 days in the campaign to replace Rob Portman in the U.S. Senate. So that's a big victory for him. You already see the ads all over TV saying, I'm the Trump-endorsed candidate. But again, good for Matt Dolan. He's the only one who, out of the people who did not get the endorsement, he's the only one who doesn't seem like he's groveling at this point. I mean, he's standing his ground.
Yeah, that's his campaign strategy. Like we said last week, we're a bit surprised that Trump's endorsing in this race, because most of the polls that we have seen show it very close, and it's risky because J.D. Vance still may not win. But when you look at it with hindsight, J.D. Vance is really the national celebrity in this race. He is, quote, good on TV, which Trump likes. So he also has a chance to win, and this could push him over the top and allows Trump to say, I was the, quote, kingmaker in this race. I made the difference. So risk, high reward for Donald Trump as far as he's concerned.
Yeah, and you do see Josh Mandel also mentioning Tim Ryan. So Tim Ryan, they're not even bothering with Morgan Harper at this point in their talking points on the campaign trail. Obviously, Tim Ryan and Morgan Harper vying for the Democratic nomination. Have you seen any polling? I have not seen any polling in the last 5 to 6 days to see if there has been a so-called Trump bump. It just seems anecdotal to me at this point. Trump still has a massive following, and so that is naturally going to push some people behind J.D. Vance, but I have not seen exactly how many.
Yeah, there was one bump. It's a $3.5 million bump. Peter Thiel, the PayPal co-founder, who's a big J.D. Vance supporter, had kind of held off giving money to J.D. Vance until right after the Trump endorsement. He donated $3.5 million, according to Politico, to a super PAC that supports J.D. Vance. Vance was, relatively speaking, running short on funds in the last weeks of the campaign compared to his competitors. So J.D. Vance and the super PAC supporting him were up immediately on the air with ads saying, I'm the Trump endorsed candidate. So from a fundraising perspective, it certainly helped his campaign. Let's see if that translates into votes.
And boy, oh boy, are there a lot of ads right now. I mean, you knew this was coming. We're within 2 weeks of the primary election, but holy cow, there are Republican Senate ads in every commercial break.
Yeah, I mean, the money is no object in this race. It's just crazy. NBC reports that so far, politicians have spent $40 million on this campaign, and we're in just the primary season. It's crazy the amount of money being spent on this campaign. It's an important seat. It's a seat that Democrats think they can pick off because it's an open seat and Rob Portman's not running. And we have basically a week left until we know who captures this seat. It really will be, I don't know. I assume you have to put J.D. Vance in the strong running now, but he had all the polls we had seen, only except for one.
It was Mandel and Gibbons.
Second tier. Yeah. Yeah. Let's see the rallies this week. So we'll see how it plays at the rally. I don't think the other candidates will show. They probably won't be invited if he's endorsing Vance at this rally. I'll see how many people show up at the rally. That'll be the first indicator. And it's a real test for Trump's endorsement power. This is a state he carried by 8 points. He remains extremely popular here among Republicans. But will people come out for someone he endorses and not just Donald Trump himself?
And likewise, is there any danger in other candidates now attacking J.D. Vance? I mean, you think that's the next point, right? I have not seen any new ads going after Vance because until this, again, you say he was sort of a second-tier candidate. But now he's among the leaders, if not the leader at this point, but I still have not seen other candidates going after him, and I wonder if there is any hesitancy to go after the Trump-endorsed candidate.
Oh, they'll be sure they have been running ads, and they'll sure to continue running the ads of how J.D. Vance said that he was another Trumper, how he did not like Donald Trump, how he thought about holding his nose and voting for Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
And he called Trump an idiot. Those ads will continue to run because this endorsement did come late. So some people had already voted. And, you know, we're paying close attention to this. That's why those ads that Vance and his super PAC are running are so important, because now they're blanketing the air saying, I'm the Trump candidate. But it came so late, Trump's not going to be able to campaign with him that much. I don't think Trump will be appearing in an ad with him. Maybe he will. I don't know. But it's late. So the endorsement is so late may not have the impact that it would have had a month ago.
Yeah, Trump.
Or 2 months ago.
Trump will be back in Central Ohio 2 days from the recording of this podcast. He's supposed to be at the Delaware County Fairgrounds for a rally featuring a congressional candidate and former Trump aide Max Miller. I have not seen any word of J.D. Vance going to that rally. I'm not sure if he will or not. I would not.
If he doesn't, Trump will probably pull his endorsement.
Yeah.
He'll be there.
It makes sense that he would be there. I just haven't seen that. So, it just adds a very interesting dynamic to this. If there could be any backfiring for the candidates going after Vance at this point, it's an incredible turn to see J.D. Vance be endorsed by Trump, because 2 weeks ago, I would not have picked Vance. I would have said, if Trump does endorse, it's going to be Gibbons or Mandel.
Yeah, from what the reports are, that that little sort of face-to-face showdown in that debate a few weeks ago between Mandel and Gibbons really turned Trump off. That he didn't. That really dissuaded him from Josh Mandel. And Josh Mandel has lost in a statewide race here in Ohio and withdrew from another. So Trump doesn't like to endorse, quote, losers. So in hindsight, Vance was kind of the pick. He's a celebrity. He's a businessman. You know, everyone has said bad things about Trump and reversed themselves, it seems, on the Republican side. But it's risky in that he might not win, and Trump will lose some oomph if that happens.
Anyway, we'll be right back.
You're listening to a WOSU Public Media podcast. Everything you hear is funded by listeners like you. Become a member of WOSU Public Media today and support digital content like Snolly Goster and the All Sides with Ann Fisher podcast. Make a gift at WOSU.org.
Welcome back to Snolly Goster from WOSU Public Media, turning from the Republican race for Senate to the Democratic race for governor, and it's finally getting at least somewhat interesting.
Well, interesting is kind of a relative term, but we have complained about former Dayton Mayor Nan Whaley and former Cincinnati Mayor John Cranley being, frankly, too nice to each other, but not anymore.
Yeah, this is, again, this is pretty moderate, but still. Cranley recently released an ad that is not too complimentary of Dayton, the city that his opponent, Nan Whaley, used to lead. Cranley's ad touts recent population growth in Cincinnati and population declines in Dayton. It ends by saying, quote, "Who's the best Democrat to beat DeWine and lead Ohio's comeback? The mayor whose city is getting worse?"
Wow, those are fighting words. Well, Nan Whaley didn't let it slide. She sent out a statement saying, "The story of Dayton and its people is the story of Ohio's resilience in the face of hardship. Attacking a major Ohio city and its residents is one strategy for attempting to gain relevance in a primary you're clearly losing. Voters know better than to fall for these self-serving attacks from a desperate millionaire who is focused on himself and not Ohio families."
This is my dad. This is my dad's old strategy that if you get punched in the nose, you better punch the other guy 20 times. Whaley's response is 10 times worse than Cranley's had. Anyway, thank God this is finally getting at least slightly interesting, although this is still a pretty milquetoast fight, honestly.
Well, they met, we'll talk about it more in a minute, but they met for a debate in Columbus this week. And I watched it, and then Whaley never really attacked him face to face. She touted her record and saying we shouldn't elect another moderate white male on the Democratic side. That was as harsh as she got. And even Cranley kept saying, "I've done better than DeWine. I'm a city that has done better than Ohio." And he didn't even go after Dayton in the forum when they were on the same stage. So, you know, it was kind of like the Midwestern passive-aggressive debate on Wednesday. But they're friends. I think that's part of the problem here. I think personally, they are friends with each other. And now the race is apparently is close. And they've got to find some separators in these last 2 weeks to try to win.
Are they really friends? Because she called him a desperate millionaire.
I mean, I think that's the consultants and the PR people writing that.
That's great.
I mean, she had to okay it, but.
That's funny.
Jesse Ballmer from the Dispatch did a story a while back. She had text messages of the two mayors, very friendly, chatting with each other, showing support after the Dayton shooting, bashing Republicans together. So they're not arch rivals by any means. And it's been a very civil campaign, which we always complain about. We want more of that, but then we complain that it's too boring. So we media folks want it both ways.
Yeah, I don't know. It's I've not seen any recent polling on this. Is there even a favorite? I mean, these two are, besides being a man and a woman, they're the same person. Like, how do you even? I mean, Cranley is. I don't know. It's a strange campaign. It's very blah.
Yeah, Cranley's going for the more of the liberal vote. He is, you know, pro legalization of marijuana. He's touting his work with the Innocence Project, and now he's touting his economic record. Nan Whaley is touting her efforts to, you know, increase gun regulations. Right. And she's run before, so she probably has a little more name recognition statewide. She's got the endorsement of Sherrod Brown. She apparently has the endorsement of many union folks around the state. But I think it's a toss-up. I mean, Cranley's the mayor of a bigger city than Dayton is. Yeah, it's a toss-up, I think. And either one of them would be a pretty sizable underdog against Mike DeWine.
I'm calling it now. You know the difference? Nan Whaley has been a guest on Snollygoster.
Could be. That could be the difference.
Anyways, you said...
Our huge voting base will either tilt her way or tilt the other way based on what they heard those months ago.
As you mentioned, the two met this week in a forum hosted by the Columbus Metropolitan Club. And the most interesting probably thing that came out of that was how Cranley introduced himself to the crowd.
Thanks, Colleen, and I'm excited about getting this done. Happy 420, by the way.
As you said, Mike Cranley, a very pro-marijuana candidate, he mentioned April 20th or 420, the holiest of holy stoner holidays, low-hanging fruit, maybe high-hanging fruit, but in line with the pro-pot campaign he's run so far.
When they announced that debate and I saw the date, I was like, are you kidding me? Did they plan this for the pro-legalization candidate? And I just knew it was going to be a source of debate, I guess, or sort of a point of pride on the Cranley campaign that they were debating on this day.
Anyway, one more pot reference to end the show. Our Snollygoster of the Week award, which we hand out to the shrewdest politician or political move. We're staying with the pot theme. Some not too creative, but obviously savvy Democrats use the High Holy Holiday to throw their support behind an initiated statute that seeks to make the devil's lettuce legal.
The devil's lettuce, indeed. Democratic State Reps Cedric Denson, Casey Weinstein, and Terrence Upchurch got some pot-related headlines on Wednesday as they announced their support for the legalization effort. Pretty much every Democrat these days supports legalizing weed, but so there's no surprise there. But using 420 was a bit shrewd.
Yeah. No, again, not the most creative thing at this point, but kudos to them for capitalizing on that. No real updates to report on the pot effort right now. Backers, as you probably know, met the bar with their initial round of petition signatures that gave lawmakers 4 months to pass it as is if they saw fit. And the window for them to do that shuts on May 28th.
Yeah, it looks like that window is going to shut. The GOP-controlled House and Senate almost certainly will not pass that proposed legislation. Governor DeWine has vowed to veto it, even if it does pass. So presumably that deadline will pass, after which backers will have another 4 months to gather about 130,000 valid petition signatures to put this issue before voters in November.
Yeah, who knows what's going to happen at that point. But for using 420... to once again churn up interest. Cedric Denson, Casey Weinstein, and Terrence Upchurch, you are our Snollygosters of the Week. If you have a suggestion for next week, you can send it to snollygoster@wosu.org. Also, be sure to leave your leave a good review for us on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you get your podcast, and tell your friends about us. Until next week, for our audio producer, Eric French, and our digital producer, Michael DeBonis, I'm Steve Brown.
And I'm Mike Thompson for Snollygoster, WOSU Public Media.